Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to a Friday edition of Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we'd like to know what's on your mind today. So if you have something you'd like to talk about, a Bible question, perhaps a personal issue, we'd like to discuss it with you and take you into the Word of God for the answer and or the solution in the person of Jesus Christ. So call now, 844-322-2742 is the number to dial in the U.S. and Canada. Again, 844-322-2742. Call now, because it is Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about how to be clean and close to God, and that's something that puzzles a lot of us,
indeed.
Puzzles most of us when we contemplate God, when we contemplate a relationship with Him, because one thing that we know intuitively about God is this, that God is holy. We see that spelled out for us in the Word of God, throughout the Word of God. We see it specifically mentioned in the book of Leviticus, and as God talks about the fact that He is holy, He prescribes all these various cleansings and things like that, these purification ceremonies for the people of Israel, so that they can recognize the holiness of God, and they could also recognize that something's going to have to happen to them so that they could be connected to a holy God. And we know the same as far as our lives are concerned. We know that God is separate from this creation. That's what it means to be holy. We know that His character, His essence, and everything is so far beyond what we are. And there's this huge gap. So how are we going to close that gap? Well, the good news of the gospel is that Jesus closed that gap for us. He became the bridge. And so through His reconciling work on the cross, He presents us to God the Father, holy and blameless in His sight. So a holy God is only compatible with holy people. There's only going to be a connection when those two are harmonious.
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly what God did. He is holy. He's not going to live in an unholy vessel. So He made us holy through the blood of Jesus Christ. We see this great promise in Hebrews chapter 10, God talking to us through the writer of Hebrews about His will. And His will was this, that through the blood of Jesus Christ, we would be made holy once and for all. Now, that wasn't His end game. That wasn't just where He was going to leave it. He made us holy for a purpose so that He, as the Holy One, could come and take up residence in us. So He wanted to prepare a place for Him to dwell here on planet Earth. Now, we saw it at the beginning of creation in the garden. That was God's dwelling place. And then after sin entered the world, we see His dwelling place in a tabernacle that He had moved Moses to build, and gave all the specifications of how it was to be built and how they were to dedicate it. And when they did dedicate it, then the presence of the Lord, the glory of the Lord, entered into the Holy of Holies. And then we see in Jerusalem, Solomon builds a temple, and when he dedicated it, guess what happened? The glory of the Lord entered into that Holy of Holies as well. Well, that was all foreshadowing the real dwelling place of God, and that's you and that's me.
Yeah.
That's the body of Christ Jesus. So you read through the book of Corinthians, and you see that our bodies are the dwelling place of God, the temple of God. We see that the body of Christ at large is the temple of God. So for that to be true, for these bodies of ours to be the dwelling place of the living God, for us corporately as a body of believers, for that to be the dwelling place of the living God, then these things had to be made holy. And Jesus shed His blood so that we could be made holy, so that God's presence could come and dwell with us.
Yeah.
There's a great story in the Old Testament. The people had just built the golden calf. God was kind of ticked at them, and he was ready to just throw in the towel and say, to heck with it all. And Moses has this conversation, and God says to him, I want you to go And, you've got this promised land. And Moses said, well, if you don't go with us, then how are we going to be set apart from any other group? And God said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. So it was the presence and power of God that that brought the people through that wilderness experience, delivered them to the promised land. It's the very presence of God with us that's going to give us rest. And we know that God's presence is always going to be with us because he has made us holy through the shed blood of Jesus Christ.
And what a thing he has done for us, Bob. Clean and close. And that's what you mentioned at the outset of the broadcast. And friends, as our thanks for your support, we want to send you a copy of Clean and Close by a friend and brother, Andrew Farley. You know, Andrew has been a part of the Basic Gospel Ministry for years, and we enjoy his keen wit and his knowledge of God's grace. And in this series, Andrew brings clarity and encouragement to believers who may be feeling distant from God. But by far, far from being a distant and dirty situation for you, by God's grace, we have been qualified, and we are clean and close. In this series, it's available to you by DVD, by U.S. thumb drive, or by digital download. And we're sure you're going to enjoy learning more from Andrew through his passion for the grace of God. So when you get a chance, drop by Basic Gospel and make a donation to help this ministry keep the good news coming. Just click donate at basicgospel.net and request your copy of Clean and Close. Right now, the phone number, it's wide open. The lines are available at 844-322-2742. That, of course, good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Whatever situation you have, whatever question you'd like to present, we're here for you, and we would love for you to speak directly with us right now. Again, 844-322-2742. Well, Bob, we had this question from Carl. It concerns the fivefold ministry of Ephesians 4:11. And the question isn't relevant for today. The concept of that that fivefold ministry comes, as we said, from Ephesians 4:11. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Primarily as a result of this verse, some believe God has restored or is restoring the offices of apostles and prophets in the church today. What is your take on that?
Well, my take on that is this, and we actually did a video in regard to this. There is a movement out there. It's a loose movement. It's not highly organized, but it's based on this passage in Ephesians about apostles and prophets, and it's called the New Apostolic Reformation. And in this, there is this common belief that God is restoring the offices of apostle and prophet, and that the leadership or the headship of the body of Christ is going to shift from denominations, going to shift from pastors and elders and those sort of things. It's going to shift back to these apostles. They're going to be the driving force in these latter times. Well, is that true? Well, I think the Word of God is pretty clear that the apostles were those back in the New Testament, Paul being one among those, and that office ended with them. So God used them, sent them at a particular point in time to deliver the fullness of the Word, to deliver us the fullness of the message. So the foundation of the Church of Jesus Christ is Jesus as the cornerstone and the teaching of the apostles and the prophets. Well, what was their teaching all about? Their teaching was all about Jesus. The message has always been about Jesus. Now, from that point on, then we build upon that foundation. We're not pouring a new foundation. We're not generating a new message. That message has been delivered once for all to the saints. So we need to contend for that. So anybody who's saying that I'm an apostle today, what they're saying to you is this, that they are receiving special revelation or new revelation from God concerning truth in today's world? Well, I think if you hear somebody say something like that, you need to turn and run.
Turn and run.
Because the message has been delivered once and for all. So Jude talks about that. And there are many that are going to try to pervert that message. Many are going to try to use it for their own sordid gain. That's been happening throughout human history, throughout the history of the church. So we have to be aware. We have to recognize it. So there's no new message, no new revelation coming from God to the body. There are no new prophecies that are being delivered to the body as far as new revelation is concerned. So I think we need to recognize that and to have a sense of discernment about those who are claiming to be apostles and those who are claiming to be prophets here and today. We've done actually two videos, and they're part of our YouTube channel, basicgospel.net/YouTube. That one is on the New Apostolic Reformation. One is on the gift of prophecy. And I think both will be a big help. And we encourage all of you to go and take a look at those two resources. And I think when you do, you're going to see this New Apostolic Reformation in a whole new light. And you're going to be weary of it. And I think you will have a strong voice of pointing people back to the clear teaching in the Word of God.
Well, phone calls are trickling in right now, but we still have plenty of room for you at 844-322-2742. Come on, give us a call. We want to hear from you.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Terry listening to us in Garland, Texas. Hi, Terry.
Hello.
Hi, welcome. You're on Basic Gospel Radio.
Yes, sir. Is there a go to church and reading the Bible? Is there more that you should do more than just that?
For what? For what purpose?
For living for Jesus Christ and salvation.
Yeah. Well, Terry, as far as salvation is concerned, salvation is a gift, right? It's the gift of life, the gift of eternal life, the gift of Jesus. And we receive that by faith. So salvation is by grace through faith, as Paul says in Ephesians 2:8-9, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not of works. It is a gift of God, lest anyone should boast. So it's simply receiving Jesus. That's that act of faith. And that is what's sufficient for salvation. There's nothing that you need to do. There's nothing that you need to try harder at. It's just simply receiving Jesus Christ. Well, once you receive Jesus Christ, now you know him as Savior, and you have this desire placed into your heart to know him on deeper levels. And so that's why you would read the Bible, Terry. That's why you would open up the pages of the Word of God, so that you could get to know your Savior even more. That's what eternal life is all about. Eternal life is knowing God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. Well, God has revealed himself to us in wonderful ways in the Word of God. So we open up this Bible to get to know Jesus himself. And then we attend church or gather with other believers. That's what I like to say. We gather with other believers. And when we do, there's the church. The church isn't a building. The church isn't a denomination. The church is the body of Christ. It's the yous and me's. And so we gather together to encourage one another in our relationships with Christ, to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. So that's all just a byproduct of this salvation that we have in Jesus. So Terry, I'm assuming that you've received Jesus as your Lord, as your life.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So that's good. That's good news. So, You know him as your Savior. You know him as your Lord. Get, you know, open up that Bible, open up that Word of God, and say, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, open my eyes so that I can grow in the grace of God and grow in my knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Not just facts, but really know him relationally, in that relationship. Know what he's like. Know what makes him tick, what his heart is all about, as far as his heart is towards you. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, Terry, let me put you on hold. We'll send you some resources that I think can be really helpful to you in that regard, okay?
Okay.
All right. Hey, thanks for your call. Great question, my friend.
Yes, indeed.
You hold on.
It is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis. Thank you for being with us, everybody. And we want to remind you that over the weekend would be a wonderful time to get signed up and get registered for the United Conference coming up in mid-October. Andrew Farley, Bob Christopher are going to be holding forth, and I think it's going to be a fabulous time, and I don't want you to miss it. So go online to basicgospel.net/united, get all the information, and register for United coming up October 15th through the 17th right here in our ministry hometown of Lewisville, Texas. Well, once again, that phone number is available, 844-322-2742, both in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to San Bruno, California, and talk with Henry. Hi, Henry.
Hey, Henry.
Hi, how are you? Good to talk to you guys again.
Good.
Can you hear me okay?
We sure can.
Okay, this is great. Listen, I want to ask you, because I've been studying about, you know, the law and grace lately. I love to teach. I teach a Bible study in my church, and I want to explain things as best as I can and help people understand. There's three scriptures I want to mention to you. In Exodus 19, there's a verse, it says in verse 7, 19:7, it says, "So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people and set them before them all these words that the Lord had commanded. And all the people answered and said, 'We will do everything that the Lord has spoken.'" Okay? That was in Exodus 19. And then in Exodus 20, when Moses goes and tells God that this is what the people say, he then gives them the laws, okay? I mean, they say, "Hey, we'll do it." And up until this point, for like three chapters, they were like complaining, whining, sniveling. I mean, for the past three, four chapters, they were just complaining. They were rebelling against God. They weren't doers. They were rebellers. They were rebels. And then now they're saying they'll do it. And then in Exodus, then he gives them the laws, and for three, four chapters, he gives them the laws, okay, the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20 through 24, he gives them all the laws. And then Exodus 24, after they hear the laws, in Exodus 24:3 and Exodus 24:7, they say it twice this time. It says, "When Moses came down and told the people all the words and the ordinances of the Lord, all these laws, they all responded with one voice, 'All the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do.'" And 24:7 says, "Then he took the book of the covenant and read it to the people, who replied, 'All that the Lord has spoken to us, we will do. We will be obedient.'" So it just seems like they were so proud and so arrogant that when they first said, "We'll do everything he says," he's like, "Oh, really? Okay." And then he gives them the laws to show them, "You're not doers, you know." And then after he gives them the laws, they're still arrogant and tell him, "Oh, we're going to do everything you say." It just seems to me like the best response would be like Samuel in 1 Samuel. When God called Samuel, he came to Lee and he said, "Your servant is listening." You know, I think that would have been a better response, that, "Oh, we'll do everything you say." It just seems like it would have been wiser, more humble to say, "Hey, your servants are listening, Lord. Speak." You know, I don't know. What is your take on that? Because it kind of sheds light on why God gave him to laws to begin with. I mean, Paul himself said that "I would not have known the law said don't covet, except the law said don't covet." But then it opened all kinds of coveting, like, of every kind.
Yeah, yeah.
So
well,
it's like the law makes it, I mean, it's like it makes it, exposes us. It brings out the junk, actually.
I think that's a good word. It exposes what's really going on inside of us. But I think there's a couple of things, a couple of levels that we need to look at those passages in Exodus from. So the first, so God is making a covenant with the people. You know, he's already brought them out of Egypt. He's responded to their cries, his presence, his power. His arm is the one that set them free, liberated them from Egyptian bondage, brought them to Mount Sinai, and now he wants to enter into a covenant with them. And so this particular covenant is a covenant between two parties. So it's a bilateral covenant. It's different from the new covenant. The new covenant is unilateral. It is made by one, and we're the beneficiaries. But this old covenant was bilateral. It had two parties. So there was God laying out the covenant. This is the terms and conditions of it. And then there was an accepting of it. And those passages that you read, those were basically the people saying, hey, we will enter and we're agreeing to do our part. We're agreeing to live up to our end of the bargain. Now, as you said, it seems like they were saying that with a bit of pride, saying that with a bit of arrogance. And that came back to really bite them, didn't it? But I think on the next level, it really speaks to what you're saying, that the purpose of the law, there's a spiritual purpose, and that purpose is to expose our sinfulness, to give us the real knowledge of sin. And that's what they got out of that. They saw their idolatrous hearts. They saw their covetous hearts. They saw all of that in trying to live up to those righteous requirements. And if we try them on for size, we're going to find out the same thing about us. So the law has a purpose. It exposes, it gives us the knowledge of sin, but it's limited. The law can't save us. The law can't impart life to us. The law can't make us righteous. God never designed it to do those things. That comes from God as a gift and is received by faith. Does that make sense, Henry?
Yeah, absolutely. Like Romans 3:19 says, the law was given to silence us and to make us guilty.
Right.
You know, that's what's the purpose of the law. And me, myself, it's like my righteousness in and of myself is filthy rags. My heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. A black person can't change the color of his skin. A leopard can't change his spots. Neither can I, who is accustomed to do evil, ever do good. So that's what the scriptures say, you know, about, you know, can't change the color of your skin. And so,
well, Henry, we're almost out of time here, my friend. So thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate it.
Quick question from B, who dropped us a note through Facebook. In Matthew 17:14-19, who is Jesus calling unbelieving, and why did he say the disciples couldn't drive out the demon because of their faith, but then said it takes prayer and fasting to do so?
Well, he's talking clearly about the disciples, and they had tried to heal and were unable to, and Jesus was the one who did that. And so he's saying, hey, your faith needs to be in me. And if you just have a little faith in me, then you're going to see great things happening. So that's the deal. He was trying to move Israel away from law, Israel away from religious ritual and all of those things, and move their dependence and their faith squarely upon the shoulders of Jesus Christ.
Well, friends, that's it for another edition of Basic Gospel, another week, in fact, and we want to encourage you to use the Basic Gospel listener line. It's open around the clock, and you can make use of it by calling 844-322-2742 anytime, night or day, 24 hours a day, and we'll address your question on the Basic Gospel program. That's 844-322-2742. And we invite you to join Bob Christopher for Sunday Morning Live this Sunday and every Sunday morning on online at 9:30 Central Time. You can link easily and quickly by clicking the link for either Facebook or YouTube at the top of the homepage at basicgospel.net. So be sure to join Bob Sunday Morning Live this Sunday morning, 9:30 online at Facebook or YouTube. Now for Bob and the staff, Bob Davis saying God bless you. Have a great weekend in and because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bye-bye.